Well, I can kind of do a recap since we're only starting chapter 2, Deuteronomy. Chapter 1, as Moses is giving us a sermon, it's in about 30 days from now, after he's written this and after he spoke this, about 30 days, he's going to die. And they are going to enter into the promised land, the children of Israel. Now, they've been wandering for approximately 40 years, right at around 40 years, give or take 30 days. And they're about to enter in, but no one, except for Joshua and Caleb, none of the adults who were 20 years old and older, was permitted to enter in because of unbelief. Notice that? Because of unbelief. They refused. They would not believe. So they wandered around, and Moses began to talk about that in his sermon. We're going to continue on in his sermon because obviously it hasn't stopped yet. We're going to talk about chapter 2. Now, we read this. Let me give you the end of chapter 1 so we get a rolling start. They didn't want to go into the promised land. God says, go ahead, it's yours. All you have to do is fight these people, but I will fight the battles for you. I'll be right there. So come on into the promised land and possess it. They wouldn't do it. They said, no, we don't want our children hurt. Remember, they started lying about their children. Any excuse that we could come up with so that we don't have to step out in faith. We're afraid. We don't want to do that. They wouldn't go. So God says, all right then, turn back and head back into the wilderness. And then they said, no, we don't want to do that either. And Jesus, there was a time when Jesus said to people, he said, you guys are like children playing in the market square. And the kids call to their friends and say, hey, let's play some music and let's dance. And their friends go, no, we don't want to do that. Okay, then let's play funeral and let's mourn. No, we don't want to do that either. We can't please you. No matter what we do, like God could have said right there, look, I told you to go in and possess the land, and you said, no, we're afraid, we don't want to. All right, then turn back and go into the wilderness. No, we don't want to do that either. Aren't you glad God didn't say, well, what do you want to do? Because they would have said, I don't know. Well, do you want to stay right here? No, we can't build here. Well, go on in. No, well, go back. No. Christian, caught yourself saying that to him lately? I want you to do this. No. All right, then. If you're not going to obey, turn and go this way. No, it's hot over there. Well, they wouldn't do it. And they decided to fight, remember? After God said, no, don't fight. Go on back now. Just go back into the wilderness where you came from. They said, no, we'd rather fight. And they went into the fight. They were defeated. They were soundly thrashed. And after the battle, they cried and they whined. God said, look, don't want to hear it. Turn back. Now, think about this as we begin chapter 2. God is now going to lead them, although they won't trust him, for the next 38 years... or so, God's going to still lead them. So he says, all right, let's go. We're going back into the wilderness. Now look, then we turned, Moses says in chapter 2, verse 1, and we took our journey into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. They're back almost where they started there, over in that direction. As the Lord spoke unto me, and we compassed Mount Seir many days. Okay, an American... we walked around the mountain many days. Now think about it. You've got millions of people, 3.5 million or more. And Moses says, all right, God's told us to go this way. Okay, what are we doing? Okay, just keep walking. Now, for days now, we're walking around this big mountain. We're going nowhere. You can imagine, because you've been around others, I know you wouldn't complain, but you could imagine others complaining. We're just going in circles. Hello, Moses, even I have no sense of direction, and I'm recognizing the same rocks here. We've passed this way a few days ago, and then we passed it again 3 days ago. Moses, we're going in circles. But we have read God is leading them in circles. Isn't he? God's leading them. He's leading them in circles. So don't you tell me God doesn't lead people in circles. You say, man, I feel like I'm going in circles. Keep going. Keep walking. Just keep walking. I've passed this way before. When am I going to? Don't even worry about that. Trust Him. Go ahead. Nice rock. That's what it says. The Lord spoke unto me, Moses says, in verse 2, saying this. You've walked around this mountain long enough. That's cool. You tell me God doesn't have a sense of humor, and I just say read Deuteronomy chapter 2. All right, let's walk around this mountain. Where are we going? Look, I'm God. Just trust me. This is stupid. I know. This wasn't even my idea. But since we're doing it, why don't you just trust me? Let's walk in circles. And finally, after days, God says, okay, you know, Moses, you walked around this mountain enough. Thank you, Lord, thank you. You know, you've got to, this is teaching you something about God. When you read through the book of Deuteronomy, a lot of times you think, oh, it's kind of boring. Whoa, man, look what we see. Even when I'm going in circles, it could be God leading me that way. It could be. And I keep trying to do things and come around. You know, I think about us. We were at one time, we're hoping to build a building. We're still hoping that. I've been hoping that since I was 13. Now I'm 17. You figure that out, how many years it's been going. And people are going, man, you guys are going in circles. Uh-huh. And God's leading us too. God Himself is taking us. Wait, we did this already. Do it again. Well, God, hey, do you love me? Yes, sir. Come on. I like this circle anyway. I'm used to it. I'm recognizing my own footprints in it. I know where we're going next, I think, Lord. I won't get out ahead, but God said, You've walked around this mountain long enough. Turn northward now. Northward? Where are we going? And the answer? Nobody knows. Moses doesn't know. Aaron doesn't know, and he's the high priest. Miriam doesn't know. She's going to be in trouble in just a little while. She doesn't know. Nobody knows. Certainly not the whiners. Where are we going? My feet hurt. I'm tired. What are you doing? You're stupid. They're going to try to take over. Because nobody knows where they're going. Take note, everybody. Though they don't know where they're going, and they don't even know which direction they might go next, yet God is leading them. Have you ever been there? Probably quite often, even though Christians don't like to say it out loud. But the truth is, come on, sometimes we have no idea where we're going. We just know God is leading us. God is leading us, and so here we go. And Moses, we're scared. You're in charge, and you don't know where we're going. Nope. But if God wants us to go left, He'll tell us. Until then, we keep going straight. And God's, as we're surrounding this mountain, it's been days now. Then God says, you know, you've walked around this one enough. You're starting to leave a path. Let's go north. Isn't that fun? What we call that today, well, not we, is merry-go-round Christianity. You been on it? Because of unbelief, you get someplace, Christian, come on. I'll admit it. Would you admit it that there are times because of unbelief I'm walking along going, I've been here before. I have been here before. Now, how did I get here from there? Where am I going now? I've been here before. Merry-go-round Christianity. You're going around and around and around. Are you willing to start to believe what God says? Talk to a man who had been married for 7 times. And he said, my wife's leaving me. She's going to divorce me. Would it be okay to marry again? I said, "Oh Lord, if anybody knows how you do." He says, "I got to tell you, it just seems like I'm going in circles. It seems like I've been here before." Oh, wait a minute. Let's talk about faith. Let's talk about belief and unbelief. Go north and command you the people, or you command the people, because they fail to take God at His word. They've got this merry-go-round Christianity going on. Now, you command the people, saying, "You are to pass through the coasts of your brethren, the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and they shall be afraid of you. Take ye good heed unto yourselves, therefore. Meddle not with them." Don't mess with them. "For I will not give you of their land," verse 5, "no, not so much as a foot breadth or a foot width of their property." It's there. "Because I have given Mount Seir unto Esau for a possession. You shall buy food from them for money, that you may eat. And you shall also buy water of them for money, that you may drink." You're going to go through the land that belongs to Esau. Do you remember Esau? He was Jacob's brother. Jacob and Esau. Remember, they were twins. Jacob was holding on to his brother's ankle when they were born. So they named him Heel Catcher. And Jacob spent the rest of his life trying to get something that wasn't his. And finally did. Do you remember Jacob and Esau? Esau sold his birthright, the privilege of being the firstborn, sold it for a bowl of beans because he was so hungry. Jacob says, he says, "I'm starving, man. I'm going to die if I don't get something to eat." And Jacob says, "I'll tell you, how hungry are you? I'm starving. All right, I'll trade your birthright for this bunch of beans." And Esau foolishly said, "What good is a birthright if I die? I'm starving. That if I don't eat something, I'm going to die, and I won't be the firstborn anyway. I'll take it." That's the Esau we're talking about. But God didn't leave him out. God promised him a certain piece of property. So God says, when you walk through his land, if you get any food, you pay for it. You even take water, you pay them money for it. You take nothing from them. And it's their land. I promised it to them, and I won't give you even a foot's width of it. So what's the big deal? Well, Esau is also known as Edom. E-D-O-M. You'll see that come up quite a few times as you go from Deuteronomy on through the rest of your Bible. Edom. The area is the area today we call Jordan. The rock city of Petra is located there. God says, "I've given that to Edom, to Esau." And you may think, so what? Well, wait, the lesson is clear. Painfully clear. Listen closely. It is God who sets the boundaries of nations. Did you hear that? It is God Himself, He says, who sets the boundaries of the nations. It is not the United Nations. It is not the United States. It is not Russia, nor is it China, nor is it the ones with the biggest guns or the most surveillance stuff or the ones with the biggest armies. No, it is God, He's saying here, who sets the boundaries. And He's telling them, you can go through here, and I want you to head through here, but they're afraid of you now, so don't do anything to frighten them. You need food, don't you threaten to take it, you pay them for it. When you need water, you pay them for the water. Because I've promised them this. You guys think, God sets the boundaries of nations. Can you think right now, just take a look in your mind, don't visualize, but take a look in your mind. The wars right now today that are being fought over boundaries. Think about that a second. The wars right now, while you're still alive, the wars around the world right now that are being fought over boundary lines. Isn't that true? Viciously. And who sets those boundaries? The people that win the war? No, you see, God does. And He always has. And He always will. You know, look throughout history. You take a look at history. Just turn back and look. I think you'd be amazed at how many wars have been fought over boundaries. Scotland and Ireland and England and France and Italy and Germany and Spain. I mean, think about what you know about history. And Mexico and the United States of America and Canada. And the list goes on and on and on. When God said, I set the boundaries, this is what I've given to them, you don't touch it. Also, another note, if you're taking notes, is God keeps His promise. Now that you think, so what? Oh no, that's a big thing. We saw that in chapter 1. That's a big thing for me and you that are Christians. God keeps His promise. No matter what, God keeps His word. No matter what, you hear that? God keeps His word. Now you ought to be excited enough to go, you know what? That's true. No matter what's going on, even right now today, God keeps His word. I better go see what it says. And people tell you, oh, I don't think it's the word of God. Think what you want, man. I got to go see what this says. Because God keeps His word. I want to see what He says about me. Does He talk about me in Scripture? If He does, I want to see what He says. Why? Because He keeps His word. If He told me something's going to happen to me, if He told me He's going to do something with me or to me or for me, I want to know it because He keeps His word. Are you walking in unbelief in that merry-go-round kind of walk? Or have you begun to step out in faith knowing God keeps His word? Here we're reading it. We're reading all about it. God keeps His word. No matter what, He always keeps His promises in His word. Now, verse 7. For the Lord thy God has blessed you in all the works of your hand. Verse 7. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord thy God has been with you. Thou hast lacked nothing. An overall view of the 40 years. And what was the commentary on the 40 years? In the wilderness, God has walked with you the whole way. And because God has walked with you the whole way in this wilderness, you have never lacked anything. How many times did they complain about lack? Every day. And then when they got food, they complained about the food. They called it, what is it? Remember, it was there on the ground when they woke up in the morning. And somebody got up and stepped on some. Opened their tent, walked out and stepped on it. And the wife said, what is that? What is it? And so that's what they called it. Manna. It means, what is it? And so for almost 40 years, they ate, what is it? They had manna burgers. Fried manna. Baked manna. Manicotti. I had to say that. Those Italians, you understand. They had manna. Manna everything. And remember how they started complaining? I'm tired of this manna. I don't want, what is it? What are we eating? What is it? I know. Must have been confusing, just talk to people back there. We don't want it anymore. We want meat. So they said, so God said, all right. So He let birds fly in. And the birds just sort of dropped down on them. So they didn't have to hunt them. Just kind of dropped down. Three feet deep or so. Birds. God says, you'll eat meat till it comes out your nose. That's what He said. And then God said, don't push me. And we do, don't we? Oh yeah. Yeah, we do. They lacked nothing. That's what verse 7 says. That's the truth. You know what David said? David was old, and he looked back over all of his life. Now, you think about David's life. David lived 10 years hiding in caves and behind rocks, running for his life for nothing. He never did a thing wrong. 10 years of his life spent out there. And after looking over, as an old man now, as king, he's been king for a long time, he looked back over his past, and what did he write down? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. After all my years of looking back, David sat down and wrote Psalm 23. What does verse 7 say? For the Lord your God has blessed you in all the works of your hands. He knoweth thy walking through this great wilderness. These 40 years the Lord your God has been with you. You have lacked nothing. Question, is the Lord with you? Have you ever asked Jesus Christ into your heart, into your life? If you say, yes, I have, then the Lord is with you. And you will lack nothing. If you want to walk in unbelief, notice the Lord can be with you, but you can still walk in unbelief, going in your circles. And I know, Christian, that we do that sometimes, don't we? We walk in unbelief without faith. We're Christians, but we're going in circles. Don't forget that they lacked nothing. Now, I don't believe, according to Scripture, from what I've seen through Scripture, and I do think this is solid, you could check for yourself. You don't have to take my word for this. I do not believe God has promised you and me, Christian, all the luxuries that life could bring. I don't see it anywhere in Scripture. I do not believe He's promised me all the luxuries that there are in this life. What I see He has promised me is that He would provide for those that are His, their needs. He provides for those that are His, their needs. The daily provision, their necessities. That's a promise of His. You walk with the Lord, He is always with you, and He will provide for you. You lacked nothing. Okay? And when we passed from our brethren, or passed by from our brethren, the children of Esau, Shuat and Seir, through the way of the plain from Eleth, from Ezona-Gabar, we turned and passed by the way of the wilderness of Moab. That's down south, southeast of Israel. And the Lord said unto me, He said this, distress not the Moabites, don't mess with the Moabites, neither contend with them in battle. For I will not give thee of their land for a possession, because I have given Ar unto the children of Lot for a possession. I promised Lot's kids this land. So don't fight with them in it. Don't think you're going to get it. Don't, you see, he's having to tell his people this because they are tired of walking through the desert. Can you imagine walking through the wilderness? You've been walking years. Here's a beautiful place. Not that many people. There's millions of us. Let's take them. Take this town and just call this ours. We can handle this. We're big enough. We're strong enough. We got the attitude and we certainly have the desire. Let's do it. God says, don't you dare even think about it. I've promised this to Lot's kids. Where about us? You had yours back there, man. You didn't want it. Keep walking. The Emims dwelt there. Emims, thank you, dwelt there in time past. A people great and many. And, okay, this is important. And tall, as the Anakims. Tall, that means they were giants. You're going to meet one later on. Much later on in Scripture, named Goliath, who Scripture says looks like he might have been a little over 11 foot tall. Those are giants. Did you hear that, everybody? They're giants. Mark that, all right? Which also were accounted giants, thank you, as the Anakims. But the Moabites called them Emims. Verse 12, the Horims also dwelt in Seir before time, but the children of Esau succeeded them when they had destroyed them from before them, and they dwelt in their stead or in their place, as Israel did into the land of his possession, which the Lord gave to them. Now rise up, said I, verse 13, and get you over the brook Zered, or Zered. And we went over the brook Zered, and the space in which we came from Kadesh Barnea until we were come over the brook Zered was 38 years. He's kind of covering it fast. Till the generation of men of war were wasted out from among the host, as the Lord promised, swear unto them. Remember, everyone 20 years old and older had to die off in the wilderness. They could not enter into the promise of God because of unbelief. For indeed the hand of the Lord was against them, verse 15, to destroy them from among the hosts until they were consumed. So it came to pass, when all men of war were consumed and dead from among the people, that the Lord spoke unto me, saying, Thou art to pass over through Ar, the coast of Moab, today. And when you come near over against the children of Ammon, distress them not. Don't mess with them, nor meddle with them, for I will not give you of the land of the children of Ammon any possession, because I have given it to the children of Lot for a possession. See, there are different areas, and as they pass through them, they pass through these places a few times, going in their circles, wandering in the wilderness. God says, now don't forget who I've given this to. Don't try to take it as your own. That also was accounted a land of giants. Hear that, everyone? It was also a land of giants. Giants dwelt there in an old time. And the Ammonites called them Zamzumims. And that means, I don't know, but I'd say big. I don't know what that is. Really large giant. People great and many and tall as the Anakims. But the Lord, okay, everyone, verse 21, the Lord destroyed them before them, and they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead, the children of Lot. And as he did to the children of Esau, which dwelt in Seir, when he destroyed the Horims from before them, they succeeded them and dwelt in their stead even unto this day. And the Avims, which dwelt in Hazirim, even unto Azah, and the other people, which came forth out of capture, destroyed them and dwelt in their place. I wanted to read that all in one group because it's history. He's telling us what went on. But you'll notice there's a pattern. Israel wouldn't go in to the promised land. And what was one of the main reasons? Because there were giants there. Really big people. And they didn't believe God, so they said, we're not going to go in. God said, go in and possess it. I've given it to you. Go! No! There are giants there. They'll hurt our kids. They're bigger than us. We can't do that. And so they wandered for 40 years. And as they wandered, they came around areas where God himself was there to defeat the giants. What are they learning? When we get another chance at entering into the promised land, we shouldn't be afraid of the giants. We've seen God can beat them easily, right? That's what they're learning. Hopefully that's what you and I learned. Israel will face giants in the land. God is showing them he defeated and destroyed them all. God is showing that he can and will take care of the giants in my life too. God will take care and can take care of the giants that are in your life. Now, here's the question. Just stop for a moment. What giants do you have in your life today? You do, you know. Is it the giant of money problems? That's a big one for some. I mean, the truth is, even though we've got jobs, sometimes ends won't come together. And you know that. And our government is just making it worse, not better. And it's the ends are getting further apart. You keep thinking, well, we'll work a little harder. We'll work three jobs and we'll get it together. And it just doesn't seem to work. It's a giant. Who's going to have to deal with it? How about the giant of marriage troubles? There's a big one. Isn't that a big giant around us nowadays? Taking out all sorts of victims. Isn't that true? You got the giant of marriage troubles. Can't beat this. Too big. There's the giant of employment. You've been watching all these huge corporations laying off their people. I mean, that amazes me. You know, when you have a staff of 5 or 6 or 7 and you see these people are laying off 37,000 people tomorrow. Over the next 30 days, one of the companies, over 120,000 employees over the next 30 days. Where are they going to work? Where are they going to go? They're going to take your job? What's going to happen? That's a giant. It's a giant of unemployment. How about there are some big giants that are even closer than that if you think your job is secure. How about the giant of hatred? The giant of jealousy, the giant of anger, the giant of resentment. There's a big one. God has shown you, He has shown me, He handled every one of the giants. He can and He will if we stick with Him. He takes care and there's nothing bigger than God. But do you have giants in your life now? Are you walking in faith? Or are you walking in unbelief? The Israelites are learning. Boy, are we stupid. We could have entered in 40 years ago. And since then, we have seen Him handle giant after giant after giant. But it's okay. It's not over yet. We're going to enter in pretty soon. And we know now God can deal with this. My God can handle this, right? That's what you're learning. That's what you're seeing. Verse 24 says this. Rise ye up, take your journey. Let's go. Pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given it unto thee, unto thine hand. Sihon and Amorite, or the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. You can go ahead and start to fight with Sihon, the king of the Amorite. This day will I begin to put the dread of you and the fear of you upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of you. God says, I'll put the fear of you in them. You won't put the fear of you in anybody. I won't put the fear of me in anybody. Yet God could put the fear of His people in those people. And He says, we'll drive them out. And I sent messengers out to the wilderness, or out of the wilderness of Kedemoth, under Sihon, king of Heshbon, with words of peace. God says, go ahead and fight them. Moses says, I'll send them a nice message first and ask permission. Just like He's done for the Moabites and all the others that they've traveled through over the years, He asked permission. He sent them a letter saying, please, can we come through your land? We won't destroy anything. We'll erase our tracks. And if we need any food, we'll pay you money for it. We don't want to steal from you or cheat or do anything. We just like to help. Let me pass through, verse 27 says. I will go along by the highway. I will neither turn to the right or the left. We won't mess with anything that's yours. You shall sell me food for money, that I may eat, and give me water for money that I may drink. Only I will pass through on my feet. We won't bother you. We're just asking for permission to cut across your land, your country. And the children of Esau, which dwell in Seir, and the Moabites, which dwell in Ar, did unto me. They did this as they did it, until I shall pass over Jordan to the land which the Lord our God has given us. Moses reminds them of his message and reminds them that he asked permission, politely, if we could go across your country. The answer comes back. Sihon, king of Heshbon, would not let us pass by him. For the Lord thy God hardened his spirit and made his heart obstinate, that he might deliver him into thy hand as appeareth this day. The king would not allow them to even pass through. And the king came out, as you read earlier on, read through the book of, well, the first four books. Go ahead and read them all. That'll help you to understand. That king came out against them to make war against the children of Israel. By the way, the king was killed and his forces were completely scattered, gone by the power of God. And that battle, became a real source of encouragement for the Jewish people. And that's why Moses is reminding him, don't you remember we tried our best to be nice? We sent the letter asking if we could go through. And the king turned and came out to destroy us. For no reason. We were just simply asking for permission to cross his country. And he came out against us. But God defeated him. We went out to battle, and God, the battle was the Lord's, and he was killed, all of his resources were destroyed. That's interesting, don't you think? God is showing them, again, and this is for you and I to learn. God is showing them that he is with them and will keep his word. Do you notice a pattern in chapters 1 and 2 already? Because it's going to be the rest of the chapters. God is with you and he will keep his word. You're going to see a pattern all the way through. What do we see as major themes of the book of Deuteronomy? Love and obey. Remember that. God is with you, and he's going to take care of it. God does the same thing today. His word says so. For you that are born again. Now, I don't believe Christians one moment when they say, man, I went through this tough time, and my marriage fell apart, and my life was a mess, and where was God then? And, you know, what they're telling me is God wasn't there. I disagree with you. I think God was there. And many times you and I were simply, we didn't want to do it his way. We didn't want to hear what he wanted us to do. We did it our own way. We just wanted to be in the wilderness. Well, where was God when my mother got sick? Where was God? He promised he'd be right there. There he was. How were you living? Were you walking in faith? Were you walking in disbelief? How were you walking? You're gonna find that I have found most of the time, when I can see it, it has never been God's problem yet. Never yet has God ever gotten weak or gone wrong. It has always had something to do with me. Have you noticed that yet about you? He has never yet left, nor has he ever been too weak to handle it. But it has been me panicking, running, giving up, complaining, moaning, stepping out of fellowship, doing anything except what he said. You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verse 20, very end of the book, Jesus sending his disciples out, not just those, the 12, but all that are his. He says, go into the whole world, preach the gospel. Verse 20 says, or chapter 28, verse 20 of Matthew says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, you're doing them and you're teaching them to others. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Now, did he mean it or not? I mean, is he really or not? You've got a choice to make tonight. Is he really with me always? If he is, well then why am I right in the middle of this trouble that I'm in? Can't he handle this giant? Yeah, Moses reminds us, oh yeah, he handles giants, no trouble. Well then where is he? He's there. Where are you? He said it to Adam. God didn't lose Adam. God didn't show up on earth and go, now where is that? Come on, where are you? No, God knows everything. What was he saying? Adam, where are you? He was asking Adam, do you understand where you are now? Adam, where are you? Now, you got to answer that question. Because we continue to blame God, who is always there and can handle anything. We go, where are you, God? And he could look at you and go, really? He looks at me and goes, where are you? Let's just stop and take a look at what's going on in your own life. Well, I read my Bible. I prayed once. I mean, for crying out loud, I go to church, you know, on Christmas and Easter. Wait. Where are you? Where's your heart? Are you close? Are you right in there where you belong? Or is he going to say, like he says to the church at Ephesus, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You didn't lose it. You left your first love. Are you there where you belong? Or has something else kind of taken its place? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Let your lifestyle be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, speaking of the Lord God, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now that you have to decide tonight, there's a decision to make. Is that true or not? He has said, I will never leave you and never forsake you. And we learned that all 40 years in the wilderness, even when they did not know where they were going or where their next bunch of water was going to come from, He never left them and He continued to provide for them. They never lacked. Look over, you that are Christians, look over the last years of your life. Look over the whole time that you've been saved, no matter whether it's a year or 30 years or 50. Can you look back and ever see a time, now that you can look back at, because hindsight's clear, can you ever see a time where He wasn't there to take care of you? There's never been a Christian yet who looks back over their life, says, yeah, there's that one time He didn't do it. He couldn't do it. He didn't. I've never heard anybody say that. I can't say that. I look back through my life and my mind's been a mess. But yet, He has never yet let me starve to death. He has never yet. Well, there was a couple of times when I had to walk, though. Now that you mention it. Poor, poor, pitiful me. I did. I had to walk. It's one time when my guitar case was torn. And that was a drag. The whole church got together and got me another one, all 20 or 30 of them, however many there were in that church. Yeah, I've had some tough times. There's times I couldn't afford strings. Whew, how about you? Pretty rough for you too? Has He ever yet not been there? Let your lifestyle be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have. For He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. How long is never? Till you blow it stupid. That's the interpretation most Christians have today. If you get it together and then lose it for a minute, I'm out of here. Is that what your Lord said? No. And He's showing you that by this walk in the wilderness. You can be outward in a dry and thirsty land. And if you are His, He is right there and you will not lack. Now we move on. In the Lord, verse 31. The Lord said unto me, behold, I have begun to give Zion and his land before thee. Begin to possess, that you may inherit his land. Begin to possess. Start to walk in the promises now. Then Zion came out against us, seeing all his people, to fight Jahaz. And the Lord our God delivered him before us, and we smote him and his sons and all his people. And we took all his cities at that time and utterly destroyed the men and the women and the little ones. Of every city we left none to remain, just exactly like God said that they should. Only the cattle we took for a prey unto ourselves, and the spoil of the cities which we took. For Aurora, for that city which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, was from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead. There was not one city too strong for us. Hear that, everyone? From the entire way they fought, there was not one city too strong for them. The Lord our God delivered all unto us. Why is Moses reminding them of this? All of this. Because they're just like you and me. As soon as trouble comes, we forget how good God is. We get some bad news. Something happens we didn't want it to happen. We're in the middle of something we never thought we'd be in the middle of. And immediately we go, where is God? Wait a minute, how come here's why I said and I prayed and I had faith and I thought, wait a minute. God's always with you. He always will be. And you will never lack. Do you notice in verse 36, there was not one city too strong for us? Why? The answer given, because the Lord our God delivered all unto us. There is nothing, I believe, that can stand in the way if you will walk with God. Now, I didn't say you would get your own way. I didn't say that you're going to have everything your heart ever desired. But it does say, so I can say, nothing will stop you from serving your God or doing the things that He's called you to do. But you've got to walk in belief. Faith. God said he would always be there. God said he would take care of everything that concerns me and you. And therefore, he will. How do you know? Because he said so. Yeah, but what if? It doesn't matter what if. There's no what if that can get around him or sneak past him. There is nothing that'll stop him. All you have to do is believe. And I'm not talking about walking blindly all around the place. Just believe. And don't be believing things against his word. All right, so I want so-and-so's husband. I want so-and-so. Now, yeah, I want my boss's job, and I'm going to get it. I'm just believing. That's not what we're talking about. That's New Age philosophy. That's creating your own reality. It's not going to work. I'm talking about believing God's word. That's what we're called to be doing, believing his word. So I would suggest to you once again that you and me get there and find out what it says. I was reading today a post from someone who said, Bible's not real. The Bible's not for today. The Bible doesn't have anything that's significant for our time. It's just foolish. It's a bunch of garbage. And as they're continuing on, they made a statement. Now, I really haven't studied it. I just know. Email from a lady that's a witch. So I've studied all religions, and that's why I've chosen Wicca. Okay? Then explain to me what study means. How did you study them? Did you study them under someone, or did you just grab a Bible and a Torah, and did you grab a, what did you get, and how did you study, how did you go about it, and you see, and then they can't answer it. Well, by study, I mean I read a book once about a witch who wrote about the Bible, and it wasn't, you know, here we go. But you're Christians. You and me, we say we're Christians, and so are we in the Bible finding out, what does he say? That's important to us. What God literally said is here. He has given you his word. Only the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not. Unto the land of the children of Ammon thou camest not. Nor unto any place of the river Jabbok. Nor unto the cities and the mountains. Nor unto whatsoever the Lord our God forbade us. We didn't go where God said don't go. If God says, don't be on the other side of the parking lot, then the smart thing to do is don't ask why, don't go there. Now, what's my natural response? When it says wet paint? Oh, man, it's wet. It said wet paint. I know, but I didn't believe it. I had to check. You don't do that, huh? Don't walk on the grass. Nothing happened. Fine. Why is that? That's natural. That's human nature. Rebellion is bound in the heart of a child. But the rod of correction drives it from him. So God goes, get off that! Ow! All right, I'm off. I'm not touch that again, it's wet. You start to take him at his word to believe what he says. What amazes me is that's not really that big a deal. I mean, when you think about it, you go, that's it? You want to really have a powerful walk with the Lord? Yeah. Just believe what he said. That's it? Yeah. That's it. That's why we can't do it. That's all? That's all it is? I mean, you don't want me to like do something or become something and I don't have to get a certain IQ level. Just believe what he says. Start walking and believing what the Lord says. Walk in belief. He'll be blessed. Because of God, we conquer. That's what we just read in chapter 2. Because of God, we conquer. Now, Romans chapter 8, verse 37, well-known verse. Paul says, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. It's through Jesus Christ. We're conquerors. You're going to win this. And I've noticed, according to the children of Israel, you can do this the easy way or you can do it the hard way. You can walk in faith, or you can walk in merry-go-round circles. You got a choice to make. And don't think that it's someone else's fault. Moses is the reason we're lost out here. If Moses had half a brain, we'd be there by now. It's an 11-day stinking trip now. It's been 38 years, for crying out loud. Moses, if you don't know where you're going, why don't you just admit it and let one of us take over who knows the place? I've been through it for 40 years. I think I know my way. It's, in other words, it's not my fault I'm walking in unbelief. It's Moses who doesn't know what he's doing. That's not of the Lord. Our hearts need to change. Pray about these things. And you're going to be, it really gets exciting. Deuteronomy does. You'll see what I mean. Pray about these things. Begin to walk tonight in faith, believing what God says. Begin to read your Bible. See what He says. Let's bow our heads together.